Well, I'm privileged to have sitting in front of me Dick Taylor. He's been the subject of so many stories that we've had today, and so it's just fabulous to have you along today, Dick. So can you just tell us about your experience of the 1974 Commonwealth Games?
Well, being an athlete, I was excited when New Zealand and Christchurch got the Commonwealth Games, and it was back in 70, we knew that, and a wee dream, wouldn't it be nice to be part of those games in 74? So, you know, I knew I probably had a chance of, you know, if I'd qualified to get into the game. So it was quite exciting that the games are going to be in Christchurch, and I could see that a lot of good things, QE2 was built, especially the organising committee seemed to be doing things good. A lot of good feelings were happening about the Commonwealth Games, but, you know, I hadn't even qualified. But I mean, like, it was a lot of buzz about them. And my dream was, well, it's at home, and if I get a chance to compete, would be great, because I've been to Edinburgh, I've been to Munich, and wearing the black singlet, I hadn't gone that good. So maybe it's home, and maybe if I get things right, that I could do well at the games at 74. So, and I did have that dream as a young guy that I'd love to be part of the games at 74.
That's fabulous. And so you had that dream, and then obviously from all the stories we've heard and from what we know, your dream came true and you did get to compete. Yeah, so what was it like?
It was interesting because I had the Dick Taylor New Zealand 10,000 metre championship 2 weeks ago in Dunedin. A lot of young people said that, you know, come up and said, how many 10,000 metres have you ever run in your athletic career? I said three, but it's now four. I'd run in 1973 at Toronto, and then in 73 I won the Otago 10,000 metre champs, and then I won the New Zealand trial, the QE2, and it was a buzz stepping on QE2, and I won that, and then when I won on the 25th of January 74. But then I said to the kids, Athlete Ed said, you're not a very experienced 10,000 metre runner. So over a period of 3 months, I ran 4 to 5 10,000 metres every week. I had to run 25. I said, Arthur, I can just run on the road. He said, no, you run 25 laps, because that'll get you used to running 25 laps. And then he started changing, and I had to run different lap times at different times. So 25 laps wasn't a big deal by the time I got to Christchurch in 74.
Brilliant.
Because Arthur was my coach, and I was running for Otago, I'd based in Blenheim, getting ready for the games in that hot weather conditions, and had the trials, and I couldn't wait to either run for Canterbury or Otago. And because I'd based in Blenheim, and they were under the jurisdiction of Wellington, I had to run for Wellington. And I wasn't happy. I said to Arthur, I'm not running for Wellington. And Arthur said, if you don't run for Wellington, you won't be able to run the trial, so you won't make the games team. So Keith Quinn always says about Dick Taylor, the former Wellington athlete who won the trial at QE2 back in December 73. So all that happened and all that came together. I qualified, I was over the moon.
Yep.
And then I started preparing myself, ready for the 25th of January.
Cool. And the rest is kind of history, really. But the lead up to the race on the day, how did you feel? I understand actually that your build up was probably not what's recommended to all athletes. Like
not
night
really,
before.
No. Well, the opening ceremony for a start on the 24th of January, and we've seen some clips today here at the town hall. I was so excited. We're at home. I've got the New Zealand blazer on. I'm going to parade in front of my mum and dad and my brother and friends at QE2 at the opening ceremony. I was so excited. And after that, he said, Richard, you're not going to the opening ceremony. And I thought, hang on a minute, Arthur, it's compulsory. Everyone wanted to go to the opening ceremony, but it had to be compulsory. So every athlete had to compete, had to be part of the opening ceremony. And Arthur said, no, you're not going. You check on the bus, go to the toilet and don't come back.
Oh, great.
And I wandered around the village during the opening ceremony. I was the only athlete in the village. I went and spoke to staff who were doing things, and they said, what are you doing here? Because I had my blazer on because I was all dressed to go. Why are you not out there? I said, I'm not allowed. So I explained to them, and they said, maybe Arthur is right. He doesn't want you too excited today. It's tomorrow he wants you to do your thing. And I was annoyed about that. Then we came back, all the athletes were on the high, the games had begun, underway. So Athlete took me to the Bush Inn Hotel, and we struggled through four jugs of beer, and he discussed what's going to happen next day. He brought out an A4 sheet of paper, 1 to 25, and the overall time was 27:45. I'd never run that before. You know, I was 28:30.
Yep.
But I believed him. All you got to do tomorrow is run those lap times, and you run that time. Being a young 25-year-old sitting with Athletic, I believed that. And can you do that, Richard? Well, you never say no to Athletic. So I said, yes, I can. And we struggled through our four jugs of beer and went home. And next morning, got up and went for a jog for half an hour around Island University. And then at 1:15, jumped in one of those V8 and Holden's and headed to the games. And the countdown began.
What time was your race?
3:15.
Okay.
I left at 1:15. Me, Athletic and Val Young were in the car. And I've met the guy that got the car that we travelled to QE2 in.
Oh, cool.
And that was special.
Excellent.
Doing that. Arrived there.
Did you meet him here tonight?
Hmm?
Did you meet him here tonight?
No, no. But there's another guy. But I'm going to go and get my photo in the car.
Great.
So arrived at the stadium. Arthur said, go and see your parents before you warm up. That's important. So went up the stadium. Excuse me. Up the top. Mum had given the seat number to them. Excuse me. He went down with Mum, Dad, my brother, and an empty seat. I said, my brother, where's Joe? Your wife, Joe, where's Joe? And he said, you remember she rang you 2 days ago and asked, were you going to win a gold medal? And you said, Athletic hadn't mentioned gold medals or silver or bronze. So we've dropped her at Ballantyne's.
Oh, no.
So she's shopping at Ballantyne while we're at Curie 2. I wasn't very happy about that. Then my dad couldn't believe how relaxed I was. As an athlete, I always got very nervous. But I wandered up and had a yarn to him like we're talking now. Talked about what we're going to do afterwards. And Dad said, you know, are you feeling all right? I said, Dad, I'm fine, yeah. I'm running all right. So then I said, catch you later. Wandered down the stairs and Dad looked at Mum and said, we might as well get out of here. This boy of ours hasn't even got his mind on the job. He doesn't seem interested what's going to happen. So Mum settled him down and out to the warm-up area and warmed up. Looked around at the athletes and I was feeling all right. He could ask Athlete Ed the night before, told me. He never mentioned about gold, silver or bronze. Well, uncanny. Normally coaches say, you're going to break the New Zealand record, you're going to do that. He never mentioned that. So I warmed up and then there was all of a sudden a big announcement. All men's 10,000 metre runners to the track. They all filed out the main track and Arthur said, Richard, don't go. I said, they might. He said, they won't start without you. So he's jog down the 100 metres and just walk back. Jog and walk back. You'll be right. I'll tell you when to go. Then a guy come walking in and started talking to Arthur Ed. He had a cap on, dark glasses. And I thought, who the hell is this? I'm getting ready for a major event. Hopefully I'm going to do okay. And this guy with a cap on and dark glasses talking to my coach. The cheeky guy left Arthur Ed and started walking towards me. Took his cap off. Took his dark glasses off. It was Peter Snell.
Huh. Wow.
Shook my hand and said, Richard, it's going to be a good day for you today. He never said I was going to win. It's going to be a good day for you.
Fabulous.
You're running the best you've ever run in your life. So it's going to be a good day for you. So as a young guy, Peter Snell speaking to me,
yep.
That put me up another notch.
Wow.
We stepped on the track and waited for that man to, and bang, we're underway.
And then it worked like clockwork. You followed that plan that Arthur had put in place for you, and yeah.
Actually, talking to you today seemed uncanny. As a young 25-year-old, apparently they went through the first lap in 61 seconds, second lap in 63. They were going crazy, but I ran my lap times, and during the period, I started, well, they were going, still going away from me, but I was still running my lap times and not worrying about what was happening. And it was fine, no one was cheering for me, and I was doing my thing, halfway mark, past the halfway, then we started counting down. And I looked up and I was about 70 metres behind the leading bunch. And then I was a wee bit worried, but then I said, well, I'm running okay. Next lap, I was 65 metres. Next lap was 60 metres.
Wow.
Next lap, 55 metres. Next lap, 50 metres. Next lap, 45. That's when I got a bit more interested. Think, well, I could get onto these guys.
Yep.
As the race was starting to wind down, the crowd sensed a New Zealander was going to be part of the race. So they got excited and they started chanting, black, black, black. And I thought, hang on a minute, I'm wearing black. The guy in front of me, his name's black. The guy in front of him is black. So who the hell are they cheering for? Then the crowd went silent. All of a sudden the crowd went silent. Then they started chanting Taylor, Taylor. And I didn't like that because it means that they were focusing on me. At that stage, I got onto them and I waited. But the crowd were going crazy. It still seemed hard to believe that these people were going berserk. People were going crazy. And then I struggled to hear the lap times. Got down to four laps to go. And I was travelling all right, three to go. And then two to go, one to go. I saw a guy ringing the bell. I never heard the bell. One to go, he's ringing the bell, never heard it.
Wow.
Round the back, an athlete had said, Richard, if you're still part of it in the last lap, at 300 metres go. So I waited, shit, I got a chance. 300 metres, I'm off.
Wow.
So I took off. But then I was shit scared that that black would probably take me over. But turning for home, I looked inside, I was clear, charged for home. And what happened after that, I feel a bit embarrassed about. I was so excited. I'd done something I never thought I could do. So excited. And someone said, why did you throw your arms in the air? I said, someone in the crowd yelled out, the bar's open. So, so I was so proud to be a Kiwi. You know, I'd repaid my country for all the support out of those years. So leapt in the air, lay on the track. That was embarrassing too. But one of those things that, just being a New Zealander, I was rapt that day that I was given a chance to have a day in the sun.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And New Zealand is so proud of you. Oh. And the stories we've heard today of how your performance there, coming from behind and, you know, maybe not expected necessarily to be a medal contender, really elevated their performances as well, because they thought, wow, look at Dick, he's gone out there and done it, and this is just so amazing.
Yeah, that's what I love too. And I've met so many people since that day. I met a person, husband and wife from Timaru, and they said, we were going to come up for the first day, but we listened on the wireless that morning, and the DJ said, we're going to talk to Arthur Liddy this morning, shortly. So they spoke to Arthur. The Commonwealth Games in New Zealand, they're in New Zealand. Been a big build-up these games. The Kenyans are here, it's exciting. What's going to happen? And Arthur Liddy said, these games are going to be very successful. We're going to see weightlifters win gold medals. We're going to see swimmers win gold medals. We've got a young guy called John Walker who's going to become one of our best middle-distance runners ever. The Kenyans are going to be exciting. They're going to be great. Then they said, what about the local boy from Timaru called Richard Taylor? Yes, he said, Richard Taylor, he's going all right. he's going very well, in fact, but, you know, he'll go well today. And Arthur said, could I tell you to listen to one more thing before I go off here? Something very special is going to happen today. That was it.
That's incredible.
So, yep.
He knew that you were destined for great.
But I didn't know. He went to the Christchurch Star and he said, your first edition, could you delay the first edition and send a reporter and a photographer to QE2? Because I've got a guy I think could win the 10,000 and that could be on your first edition. So the first guy I spoke to was, he got permission to get access to me before the press conference. This guy came up and said, "Christchurch Star, we're allowed to talk to you." Spoke to him briefly, and I didn't think any more.
Wow.
So
little did you
know. About a couple of hours later, someone handed me the Christchurch Star. And there was.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so if I had my one got asked, I would have probably cut my throat.
Well, thank you so much, Dick, for coming and talking to us. It's been a real pleasure to hear your account of your famous run and your experience in the games.
Oh, it's been good. You know, that day there was, 35,000 people there?
Yep.
And I've met 150,000 who said they were there. So,
wow.
a few people in New Zealand take a wee lie.
They think they did. They think they were. How did your sister-in-law feel about missing out on the big day, the big event?
Thing is, I've mentioned that several times. It gets brought up with her regularly. She's not very happy. She said, "One of the biggest regrets of my life, I should have gone."
Absolutely.
Then I met Richard Ballantyne from Ballantyne, and he remembers that day about 20 years ago. He said, "I remember that lady. We got Phillips K9 and Ballantyne for the games, and during the race, it was getting so exciting. The staff were watching the Phillips K9. Everyone was watching Phillips, even people shopping there. And then all of a sudden, about four laps to go, the lady was banging on the counter. 'Excuse me, I would like some attention.' And Richard Ballantyne said, 'Sorry, madam, could you please wait? We think a New Zealander could win the 10,000 metres. And she said, "And who's that?" And they said, "Richard Dash Dick Taylor." She said, "That's my brother-in-law." He hadn't told me. Well, I didn't bloody know, did I? I always bring it up to her, so.
So you should.
Yep, oh, very much so, yep.
Fabulous. Well, once again, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure.
An honour to be asked, yep. Thank you.